while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
This motiverse has really done something to us and for us, hasn't it, church? 2025 has been a very special year, I think, for many of us. And I am grateful to God for his goodness. I think it wouldn't be right for me to come up here and not take this opportunity to just thank the church for your support, for the grace that you have extended to me and my family in the time that we have been passing through. We are extremely grateful for the love that you've poured into us, and we have felt it, and it has indeed supported us quite a bit, and I'm grateful. You know, many a times I've come up here and I said, oh, PHBC family, but it's not until now that I can actually profess this with the knowingness of it. I've experienced it. I know that you are indeed my family. It's not just something I say because we are family in Christ, but it's something I say because you have indeed been a support to me and my family. So praise God. The Lord is my Savior. The Lord is my Savior. So as mentioned before, this scriptural text is taken from our motiverse. And here at PHBC, we like to base everything we do on scripture. And so every year, the leadership team seek the Lord's face for a scripture we can anchor on for the duration of the year. And for this year, the motiverse God has given us is taken from the book of Psalms 118, specifically verse 14 from the easy to read version. And I think, can we read it all together? It's right in front of you if you're not too sure. So shall we read it together? The Lord is my strength, my reason for singing. He saved me. Can we do it again? The Lord is my strength, my reason for singing. He saved me. Now, a minute ago, I said that 2025 has been a very interesting year. And I think for me specifically, why it's been very interesting is that there are many scriptures and songs I've sang for a long time. But I think during this year, these songs and scriptures hold a different kind of weight. It's almost like when you're singing these hymns and songs that we often sing, they are far more meaningful to me. And it's like I can relate to the writers of that song. You sing a song and you think, wow, okay, I know what you mean by he's your rock. Amen. And for me, Psalms 118 has come alive. I don't know about you, but when you read these scriptures, the Lord is my strength, my reason for singing. He saved me. The words are very heavy sometimes to say if we want to be honest and sincere. Now, our motiverse is broken into three-part series to keep us reminded and encouraged for our meditative purpose and our understanding. So Pastor on the second Sunday of January revealed God's chosen verse for the year in the first part of our motiverse series. And in his sermon titled, God is Our Strength, Pastor reminded us of the limitations and the consequences of leaning on our own strength. Instead, he encouraged us to stand on the strength of God. And in April, for the second half of our motiverse sermon series, Babs also preached a sermon titled, The Lord is My Song and My Reason for Singing. And in this sermon, Babs taught us the definition of true worship, and she reminded us of the sustaining power of living a life of worship. And today, for the third part of our motiverse series, we are, as mentioned before, we will be exploring the third statement made in our motiverse, which is, the Lord is my Savior. Now, the Psalms from which our motiverse is taken is The Psalms from which our motto verse is taken is known as a lal. It's part of a Jewish prayer, and it consists of Psalms 113 to Psalms 118. And these Psalms are recited on holidays like the Passover. And the purpose of these festivals is to remind the Israelites that God saves and that he has performed wonderful miracles for them. And an important symbol of the Passover is the sacrificial lamb. And during the liberation of Israel, a lamb without blemish is sacrificed. During the liberation of Israel, a lamb without blemish was sacrificed by each household, and its blood was smeared on the doorposts of the Hebrew homes to protect them from the final plague of death of the firstborn. Now, we know that the Passover festival is designed to remind the Israelites of God's saving power in delivering his people, and the lamb symbolizes protection, redemption, and the breaking of bondage. And if I can encompass all of this in one word, it is deliverance. Now, last week, if you were here, you would have taken part in communion. Now, communion and Passover are very significant in the life of the believer. And it is during the Passover that the firstborn, God's son, commanded us to partake in communion, which is a symbol of his death, a sacrifice for the salvation of the entire world. So we do this in remembrance of him. And we believe that Jesus' death on the cross fulfills the symbolism of the Passover lamb. His death is what saves us from sin and death and all that it encompasses. Now, Psalms 118 is understood by many Christians to be a prophetic depiction of Jesus Christ, specifically verse 22 to 23, which speaks of the stone rejected by the builders that becomes the cornerstone. And earlier we sang the song, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong. Now, the cornerstone is the most important stone in a building, holding the structure together. And Jesus as the cornerstone is the central figure in God's plan of salvation and the source of unity for the believer. Now, Jesus as the cornerstone was a controversial statement back in his day or back in the New Testament days. There was quite a lot of friction between those who professed to follow the way, now known as Christians, and those who were of the Jewish faith. And that contention was that those who were of the Jewish faith, they based all that they knew about God on what is known as the law, which was what Moses had written and given to them. That was their foundation. That's how they knew God. They based their faith on those scriptures. Now, when Jesus came, he often would try to persuade them and cause them to understand the revelation of what was hidden in what God had done in those times. Now, a favorite pastor of mine, who happens to be a friend of mine, often says this in conversations. He often quotes this. He says, the Old Testament is Jesus concealed and the New Testament is Jesus revealed. And I love that so much. And when we think about the concept of Jesus being our savior, I don't know for you, but it draws my mind to think about how Jesus is revealed to us in the Old Testament and what all of the things that God did back then in revealing his plan through Christ Jesus in the salvation of his people. Now, what I love about the scripture that we are anchored on this year is that it is such a profound statement of faith. We now know that Moses, when writing these songs, the halal, these songs of praise to God, and that he had already had a revelation of the coming Savior. He had already had a personal revelation of Jesus. Now, verse 14 of the Psalms 118 is a direct quote from a song of Moses, originally found in Exodus 15, verse 2. And it reads exactly as we see it on our motiverse. The Lord is my strength, my reason for singing. He has saved me. This statement the psalmist makes is not circumstantial, but it is based on the evidence of what God has done and who he is. In writing this song, Moses attempts to encourage with what God has done, which was part the Red Sea at the time. He attempts to anchor those who are reading or believing or hearing the songs with what God can do. And then he also aims to uplift by calling for a stand to trust because God will do. And I believe that that is exactly what God wants to anchor us in this year. God wants us to be encouraged by what he has done. He wants to anchor us in what he can do. And he wants to uplift by calling us to stand, to trust, because he will do. As Christians, I know that it is often very hard for us to admit our weakness, our fears, our worries, our doubts, our struggles with sin or whatever else we may struggle with, whatever it is that we contend with daily. It's hard for us to admit that we are indeed sometimes weak and in need of help. But I want to encourage you with this, that we are not far from the Israelites in their day. God calls them to remember through this halal, for these songs, what he has done, so that they can believe in what he can, they can be anchored in what he can do and what he will do. So, if you're facing a giant this year, that is overwhelmingly more powerful than you, or if you are weakened by a heavy load that you are carrying, or worried about something that is happening that you have no power to change, and if you are doubting whether God is for you or whether he has forgotten you, your struggles only reveal one thing, and it is this, that you are indeed in need of a savior. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just human. It is normal. That aspect of our Christianity is something we often hide and we put away because we think that it's not necessary for when we gather in spaces like this. I mean, this is not consistent for everyone, but we often, all of us have done this at some point or another, hidden our weaknesses, hidden our struggles, hidden where we need help. You have heard this repeated much this year, but let this verse serve as a reminder that nothing comes as a surprise to God. He is not surprised by anything. In the book of Psalms 46, verse 9 to 10, God declares, in the book of Isaiah 46, verse 9 to 10, God declares, I am God, there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. His plans for us are not contingent on what has happened, neither are they on what will happen, but rather what he wants to happen. Now, I know that's a bit difficult to swallow, especially when you're going through hard times, right? It is. God, you know everything. You do. His plan for us are of good and not of evil, I want to reassure us. He is aware of our struggles and calls us to bring them to him. In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus states, come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace. I will give you rest, refreshing your souls with salvation. Indeed, if you come to me as you are with your burdens, clearly stating them to me, bringing them to me, laying them at my feet, not in a religious manner or in repetitions that mean nothing, but being sincere with what you have and what you carry, laying them before me, I will indeed refresh your souls with salvation. We can rest, we can be rest assured that he is intentional about shaping our lives to fit his plan, no matter what happens within or around us. He cares about everything that pertains to us. The thing about our Savior is that he is proactive, not reactive, and can sometimes be hard to believe or understand. Especially when we focus on the circumstances we often find ourselves in. We ask all sorts of questions based on the carnal conditions of our mind. And it doesn't matter who we are. It really doesn't. We all have asked these questions. I say again, but God, if you know all things, why would you allow this to happen? If you are the Savior and you have saved me, why is this happening? But God, if you know all things, we ask questions like, why would a God, a good God who knows all things, permit me to experience pain I know he can and has the power to instantly take away? I want to encourage us with the story of a woman called Hannah. She is the mother of Prophet Samuel. And we find her story in the book of 1 Samuel. And the Bible says that the Lord had closed the womb of Hannah. And in her time, a woman who is barren or seen to be as barren is often divorced by her husband, looked down upon in that time in her society, in those days. And it was a hard thing to endure as a woman, not like these days where it's a bit more, you know, we have a bit more understanding about those things. But for Hannah, it was difficult. But the Bible tells us that God had closed her womb. God had closed Anna's womb. It was God's doing. He did this to her. But we later find out, and it is revealed to us, that God did this because he had a plan. He had a purpose. He had an intention. Anna felt as she was an important part of his plan. God did not close her womb as to hurt Hannah. He did it because he had a plan that he wanted to bring into fruition. He had something that he wanted Hannah to learn. But God, if you know, then why would you cause me to experience this pain? God's love is hidden in the love that her husband, Elkanah, had for her. And we can often find in situations where, you know, things are hard and things are tough and there's no way out. It seems that, you know, there's no way out. You find instances where God shows himself. He shows himself in what is happening. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that everything bad that happens is from God, but I am saying that God is indeed in control of all things. Another instance is from Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. And I read, "The thorn in the flesh. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" You see, our Savior is proactive. He's not reactive. God wants to save us from the root of our circumstances, sin, death, and decay. And yes, this is something we often hear, but I remind you that the Hallel are meant to be songs that are meant to be repetitive. They are supposed to be reminding us year by year of God's saving power. The Hallel are read every year during the Passover and other festivals. Similarly, we take communion and we are reminded of Christ's saving power through his death, right? Every fourth Sunday that falls, we take communion and we are reminded of God's saving power. Now, I want to ask you, PHBC, do we truly believe that Jesus is our Savior? Yes. Not past tense. but is our Savior. Not just something he has done, but something he is doing. Then if we believe this, and I guess then it's easy for us to accept this truth, that those who need a Savior are those who are in need of deliverance. Those who are in need of deliverance are those who are in need of rescuing. Because if you need a Savior, then you are either in trouble, in distress, or in need of help. God is in control. Are we willing to trust that God indeed knows what he is doing in spite of the pain? Are we willing to trust God that he is indeed in control? Even when we find ourselves battling with the question that leaps to our throat, God, if you know all things and you're able to do all things, why would you allow me to endure such pain? The thing about the need for salvation or deliverance, it does not discriminate between gender or age or belief. We all have been and are all in need of God's saving grace. I will say this again. If there is anything we have learned about our Motiverse this year, it is that nothing takes God by surprise. Nothing takes him by surprise. So today, church, I want to encourage you in this. That not all the things that we go through are things that we can physically see and experience and touch and perceive. Sometimes God comes and saves us and he's doing a work in us to deliver us from things that we might not have yet seen or understood. I want to encourage us to see life from a spiritual perspective. Some of the hard things we endure, I'm not saying are all God's doing. But what I am saying is that they are permitted by God in order for us to grow. And the Bible tells us this. It is no new thing. Is Jesus our Savior? If yes, then I guess we are in need of deliverance and a deliverer. Jesus is saving us. Just as he saved Paul. The Bible says that God sent a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Can we just break that down? God sent a demon to torture Paul. God allows Job to go through. Jesus is our Savior, and we are indeed in need of him. And I'm grateful that we can declare this truth, that we do believe he is our Savior. Amen? The Lord is my strength and my reason for singing. He saved me. In some translations, it says, he is my salvation, or he has become my salvation. A present tense, a constant. I want to ask you today, is this statement, is it personal for you? Because when we indeed declare Jesus as our Savior, sometimes we can generalize it. We can make it a general thing. He is our Savior because he saved us from sin, or he saved us from the power of sin and death. Is he saving you? Is he saving me? Is it personal? In a session we've been having at Teen Time, we've been trying to really look at our relationship with God, and we've tried to make it personal. And in doing so, we've had to look at ourselves and how we relate to God. And to do this, we've had to kind of break down the idea of sin and death. What does it mean for us in our personal life, in our day-to-day? On a weekly, what does it mean for us to be saved by God, to have Jesus as our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who delivers us? What does it look like on a Monday for me when Jesus is my Savior? What does it look like on a Tuesday for me when I declare that Jesus is my Savior? Not just on a Sunday in a service where we declare this truth and in a song we can sing it proudly and shout it loud. But what does it mean when things go wrong? What does it mean when I'm struggling with sin? What does it mean when I find myself in the middle of the night not able to sleep because I am worried? What does it mean when I am weak? What does it mean when I face myself and I know that indeed I do not look like what Jesus has called me to, when I do not look like what I profess? What does it mean then? The Lord is my Savior. It means that I am weak, I'm human, and I'm in need of Jesus. God is not dramatic in that he sent his son to die for us. God is righteous and good, and he knew what we had need of. The death of Jesus on the cross was not just a thing that happened many years ago. It is happening to us daily. We're doing Bible study classes, and we've been talking about what it means to die daily, what it means to be saved. It's a daily death. What it means to be saved is a daily deliverance. What it means to be saved is to walk with Jesus in the raising of our children. What it means to be saved is to walk with Jesus in our workspaces. When your manager seems like they are poking you on purpose, or overlooking the work that you're doing and you don't feel seen. What it means to walk with Jesus is to see our family members who are not saved and to struggle with that, praying for them. What it means to walk with Jesus is to walk in our brokenness when it feels like we feel like failures. What it means to walk with Jesus is to hold our child's hand when our child is going through suffering with no answer to give, but only to trust in Jesus' name. When the doctors say to you, I have no answers, I don't know about you, but that's my truth. I have nothing left to do but to hope in Jesus and in his saving grace. And I can tell you this, David professed it and he said, I have lived a long time, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their children begging for bread. And indeed, we will never be forsaken because Jesus' salvation in our lives is not based on our circumstances. Because remember, our Savior is spiritual. He's a spiritual being. And in order to understand the things that are happening in our lives and the things that we are going through, we ought to have a spiritual eye to see what is truly happening. Because these circumstances sometimes come to cause us to rely on Jesus, because we do rely on our strength a lot. God is calling us to rely on him fully, giving it all up, laying it all down. Not me, but you, Lord. You see that situation that causes you to be backed up against the wall is there for you to lay down your weapons. Because indeed, God wants to take over. He wants to be the soldier that gets you out of the war. He wants to see about your protection. He wants you to lean on him. We have to lay it down. If we say Jesus is indeed our Savior, we have to lay it down, church. But what do you need to lay down? What do you need to give God? Where have you not allowed him to be your Savior? What is that thing that you're holding on to? Where are you fighting for yourself and not allowing him in?
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.